This is Helen Zaltzman, and you're listening to Best Frequencies Forever.
This is Ausländer from Pascal Pinon, and you're listening to Best Frequencies.
I'm a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire, I can hear you through the whine. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the
Good morning. You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.fm. I'm Leah, and I'm here with Jess.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jess. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. That was the dulcet tones of Glen Campbell.
I love
easing,
that.
It's great. Easing us into Sunday morning with Wichita linemen. So you think that's a lineman who plays for the city of Wichita, right? That makes the most sense.
The county.
The county. That's right.
A lineman for the county. Yeah, every county has a football team, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
I think so.
Yeah. If any of you guys know what an actual lineman is, please feel free to go ahead and get at us on Twitter. We're at BFF TV on the Radio, and we would love to hear from you. Today, we are talking about season 2 of Ozark, which is currently streaming on Netflix. A cozy little family drama, just about, you know, what happens when women help women and, you know, fostering kids and becoming a valued member of your community.
Yeah.
Becoming an entrepreneur. Really, it's mainly about the morass of local laws that you have to get around to get your casino off the ground.
Yeah, a lot of bureaucratic red tape.
Yeah. And it's also about money laundering and drug cartels and the FBI and kidnapping and murder, you know. Yeah.
My beef with this season is that it was really slow moving and just not a lot happened.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Kind of just a mood piece.
Yeah. Lots of slow, shimmery shots of the lake, which looks beautiful, by the way.
I would be so down with living by it. Whatever. I don't know what Lake of the Ozarks is like in real life or if it's real at all.
Yeah. Sounds made up.
I'm ready to have a Bud Light at the Blue Cat.
Yeah, let's so you guys, this is going to be of huge interest to you. You heard it here first. Our money laundering operation is actually going to be doing tours of places that are on shows that we like. So it's going to start with a helicopter ride through New York in a black helicopter a la Succession. And we're going to take you to Lake of the Ozarks. And
that sounds awesome.
Yeah. What you do from there, you've got to make your own way back. But yeah,
it's an interesting link up too. Those two shows. Yeah. I did. Last time I was in New York, I Googled Gossip Girl Tour of Manhattan.
Yeah. That is got to be a thing, right?
I can't remember if I didn't go on one, so maybe it's not a thing. Maybe that needs to be our thing.
Yeah. Okay, let's make it happen.
And it's actually just going to be at a soundstage in Culver City.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so season two of Ozark, what did you think?
Oh, my God. It was it was intense. I said this about the first season, I think, and same applies for the second season. Like, just the amount of stuff that happens,
yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah, I feel like every episode of this show would be an entire season of another show, just given like where we go from point A to point B at the end of the episode.
Yeah,
it's always quite a journey.
Yeah, Marty Bird, played by Jason Bateman, is fucking like, that man is, when it comes to suffering, he's right up there with Liza Minnelli. You know, it's like to quote Steel Magnolias.
It's kind of a bizarro Arrested Development.
Yeah.
I mean, not exactly. Like, there's kind of a switch.
There's no banana
dynamics.
Stand. There is a Lickety Splits, though, so similar.
But it's like shit is just falling apart every second, and mm-hmm. Marty's always running around trying to fix it. I do want a super cut of every time he's in a scene and his phone rings and he says, "I have to go," and he leaves.
Yeah.
That's every, he exits every scene that way.
That's the whole show.
I gotta go.
He does have to go. I will say, so I was mad at Jason Bateman for being a dick in that The Hollywood Reporter Arrested Development interview.
Mm-hmm.
Much lauded, or I guess famous, not much lauded. Actually, people were pretty mad about that interview and how all the males in that cast ganged up on Jessica.
Right, I forget her name.
I forget her name, but Jessica, the old lady who plays them. The inevitable
Lucille Bluth.
Lucille Bluth, the true star of Arrested Development, mm-hmm. who talked about Jeffrey Tambor's horrendous abusive tirade, I guess.
Yeah.
That left her in tears, and she actually ended up in tears during this interview, and Jason Bateman and all the other cast members were like, "Well, he seems like a good guy. I mean, I think you should
just
chill."
Well, it was
chill.
Do we need? Yeah, he was a dick. We don't need to go over it again.
He was a dick. So I was gratified to see all the shit hurled Marty's way this season. And then I was so surprised and gratified to see that this season became not about Marty Bird, but mm-hmm. it's about Wendy Bird.
Yep.
This is a show about women, guys. Finally.
Yeah, it really is.
I was truly surprised by the shift. I asked my husband what he thought this season was about, and he said, "Oh, it's about like a family shifting from like, you know, doing what they can to survive to like embracing their role as a crime family." And I'm like, no, this is about what happens when women, like, this is about men being weak, basically.
This is about how the
men ruin everything.
In the family thinks that he's taking care of everything, mm-hmm. and he has no fucking idea that his wife is the one keeping everything together.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, fixing his mistakes without rubbing his fucking face in it.
Yeah. And, it's real good, guys. It's very, very good. I'm super into it. I can't wait for season three, which, what do you think is going to happen in season three?
I just can't.
I mean, it's just going to be Marty making breakfast for the kids, and it's going to be a showdown between Wendy and Ruth.
It's going to be Darlene. Marty, like, grumpily making pancakes for his kids, mm-hmm. and Wendy's outside keeping the Kansas City Mafia from coming inside to murder all of them.
Yeah.
And then she'll come inside and be like, does anyone want orange juice?
Yeah. And it's going to be a showdown between her and Ruth, who she has now kicked out of a job because Ruth was supposed to be taking over. And
oh, yeah.
Now Ruth's not going to be taking over. And Darlene, who is batshit crazy, but yeah. also taking care of business, man.
Yeah.
Darlene.
Don't fuck with her.
Darlene. Jacob Snell, Darlene's husband, who was running the heroin empire that they have,
mm-hmm.
again, turned out Darlene was actually pulling all the strings. And
that he was terrified. Yeah. Rightfully terrified of her. Right.
She is batshit crazy.
I never and could keep up with you, Darlene.
I know. I'll miss his grizzled little, yeah. like, very flat affect. Seeming like he has it all in control, but just mainly because he's scared shitless.
Yep.
Which we didn't
really. I also like how Darlene just half the time, she's wilding out, no excuses. Yeah. Just like, so what if I did?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Darlene, all out of fucks, man. Yeah. And now she's got her baby. She got her little baby that yep. she wanted because she wants to raise someone in her image, as we all do. Mm-hmm. So I predict bright future for young Zeke. What could go wrong? But yeah, so last season, Marty Bird got himself entangled in some money laundering for the cartel.
That was his longtime career, right?
Sure, yeah. But it really got ramped up because his
business partner.
Yeah, his ineffective, douchey business partner got himself killed. And then Marty had to go on the run with his family to the Ozarks, where the cartel will find you.
Turns out, yeah. Yeah.
Turns out you can't really get far.
Trees are tall, but they'll still find you in there.
yeah. So the cartel found him and forced him to become a legitimate business person, really, just investing in his community. He became an owner in the Blue Cat Lodge. He became an owner in Lickety Splits. And much needed cash infusion to the local strip club. And
I like
improved working conditions for all the women there.
Oh, yeah. You know, Ruth is a fucking cool ass boss.
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah. I really love that scene of her like switching out the whiskey, like pouring the cheap whiskey into the good bottle. Like that's, you know, that's happening everywhere. Oh, totally. Right. Yeah. I just really, really loved this season. And what I loved was, as you said, there were like trial upon trial was just heaped upon them this season. Yeah. It was just one problem after another to solve. And in the beginning, I was like, oh, okay, guys. Like, oh, now the Kansas City mob is involved. Now, like, the Wichita bureaucracy. And, like, you have to overturn a state law in order to get your casino off the ground.
At the time, I was totally enthralled by every minute of every episode. In retrospect, I feel like they could have cut out, like, 30% of the like red tape plot lines and made it 8 episodes instead of 10.
Yeah.
This is not to say that I didn't enjoy the whole season.
Yeah. But at first I was just like, okay, guys, you can like take your foot off the gas for a minute here. Like it doesn't need to be yet another fucking problem. Ruth's shitty, shitty, truly evil and menacing dad, Cade, got mm-hmm. out of prison and wanted nothing more than Marty Bird's money to find out where all this cartel money is.
Speaking of wilding out.
Yeah. It's just one fucking problem after another. And I was like, okay. But then midway through the season, it just all turned. It was an instance where they kept adding these problems to push Marty to his breaking point, mm-hmm. which he eventually got to. And then you saw how Wendy was able to just, okay, like she literally said, okay, you rest, I've got this.
Yeah.
And he was still like, okay, I'm, you know, he's still up to the very end making plans and thinking that he's in control. And Wendy's like, you're a dumbass. Sit the fuck down. I told you I've got this. And this is what we're doing now.
Yep.
I loved that. I truly didn't really see that coming. Like, Laura Linney plays Wendy Bird, so I was like, obviously, you know, last season it was a little bit about how, like, they're kind of partners in this, and there was a whole storyline about them trying to get their marriage back on track. And you know, it turns out a good criminal enterprise will inject some much needed spice into your dying marriage. So they.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you've got to keep your shit together to literally not be murdered by the mafia, then that's a good reason. Better than just like staying together till the kids go to college.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay together so the kids don't get like beheaded or anything.
Yeah, sure. One of the kids did get his head shaved this season.
I like how he kept that fucked up haircut for 24 hours.
I was saying, like, so this just goes to prove how truly shitty they are as parents.
Yes,
like, they've abdicated all parental responsibility because it truly never occurred to them to shave this poor kid's head after he is, like, butchered by the Snells and with, like, left with patches of hair all over his head. Yeah. And they're just like, well, I guess that's how he looks
now. A lot of this show is about bad parents, like, poor parenting. I laughed out loud when Charlotte came home and she said, what happened to you? And he said, cancer.
Yeah, that was very funny. Yeah.
It's funny. Joe, yeah. I feel like last season we were talking about how he's a creepy weirdo, but this season I found him very charming.
Yeah, you know why? Because he just needed a little illegal hobby to channel that creepy weirdo energy into, and now he's got his own money laundering thing going on. He's got offshore accounts. Mm-hmm. He's got, like, bank accounts set up under his fake name, all of it. So Jonah's gonna be fine, man. Better that than out killing things, which he was doing last season. So
The whole deer hunting thing, I was really very tense, wondering, like, is this the moment that he turns into, like, a bloodthirsty little creep? Or
decides he's more sure. He decides to go more white collar.
I like that.
It was good. It was interesting.
I feel good about that decision for him. Was burning the deer head, like, was that a rejection of that sort of, like, bloody violence in favor of more, like, computer-based violence?
Yes, I think so.
Bloodless crime?
Yeah, I think so. It was just,
I thought maybe it was, like, his innocence going away, but it does seem like he sort of chose
that ship may have sailed when he had to set up a fake bank account.
But that's interesting because it's, like, he's choosing the path that his father probably thought he was choosing in some sort of, like, victimless crime when it only felt victimless until he had to get his hands dirty.
Yeah, and that was another interesting... Yeah, that was another interesting theme was Marty has kept it together all this time by constantly saying that other people are responsible for what happened to them, and he's not really, like, in charge of any of that. He's just doing what he needs to do to keep his family alive. And then it did change to him actually murdering someone this season. Mm-hmm. And that is what precipitated his realization that, you know, we're fucked. Like, we are these people now, and we have to get out now. Wendy, sort of realized her power and is getting, Wendy's having her how Stella got her groove back moment and is realizing that she's really, really fucking good at all this shit and doesn't want to give it up now. And there's a truly chilling speech that she gives the kids at the end where she's talking about, like, the mistakes she's made in the past, but this is who she is now and this is, you know, what's important to her. And she's definitely telling herself that this is all for her family, but, you know, get something for you too, Wendy. I mean, sure, if you get a sense of self back out of being a fucking badass bitch who runs the Ozarks now and has the cartel grateful to you for everything you're doing, is gonna keep the Kansas City mob from the door and has taken care of the Snells, then, you know, good for you. She's just Ma and Aunt Sheila, just, like, handling shit and never getting her dues. And Wendy's over it, man.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the show has been about Wendy, like, gave up her career and has wanted to go back into, like, politics, which is what she had been doing before, but didn't really have the chance because she had to be the fake smiling wife of local businessman Marty Bird. But, turns out she needs to shine.
Yeah, Wendy can't be held down. Mm-mm. Can't hold a good woman down. But I didn't see it coming that that's where this season was going. I thought it was still going to be kind of based on, like, the family. And Laura Linney did some really, really outstanding work this season.
Yeah, she was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and also had to do that thing a lot. Most of the people in the Bird family had to do that thing where they're acting like they're acting, which mm-hmm. I'm always very impressed by. Yeah. But she was amazing.
Yeah, she's really great at that. Literally just turning it on and like talking to interviewers after yeah. just hours before, mere hours before incinerating a body.
Yeah, and the whole scene where she had been kidnapped by
Mason.
Mason mm-hmm. was very good. Her like trying to manipulate him.
Yeah.
Was very good. And I was impressed by, I don't know the actor's name who plays Charlotte. There were some scenes where she was talking to her brother and you could see her channeling Wendy. Mm-hmm. Like she, and then in those moments, I was like, she actually really looks like Laura Linney too.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, she kind of looks like both of them. It's weird. It's good casting. She's a weird looking kid.
Oh, I think she's real pretty.
Yeah, she's handsome.
Yeah.
She's a handsome lady. Yeah, I also want to say that Wendy does all this while keeping, like, her hair and makeup flawless.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I have not dyed my hair in, like, months, and Wendy's in the Ozarks, and she's like, nah, no problem. I could do it all.
Yeah.
Show up to my casino opening in a jaunty cape while just ordering a hit on some man. Don't mind me.
That like, cape was beautiful.
That cape was amazing.
And yeah,
was
really you asked if that was, like, a superhero suggestion, and
pretty much.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
the direction on this show was amazing.
Like a lot of the episodes were directed by Jason Bateman.
I'm super impressed.
Yeah, this is a really interesting visual show.
Yeah.
Too, it's really really beautiful. I'm super in for, as I said, kicking off our star tours in the Ozarks when we do our TV on the radio tour. We'll take you all to the Ozarks, guys. But it's really really beautiful, but also just like it's got that like gritty undercurrent.
Yeah.
Where it's got that real real towny vibe without being it's not patronizing about it at mm-hmm. all. Like it's not downplaying any of the like it's not playing any of the like sort of hick angles
yeah.
that you would expect it to, but it's got a real like menacing, like anything could fucking happen, this place is wild.
Yep.
Like vibe to it. And yeah, the direction is really great and super super tense. I mean
yeah.
And as I said, I just was really impressed by how many things I didn't see coming
mm-hmm.
this season. But you know, it being 2018, we all knew men were weak and they were they were always going to be the problem. And to a man this season, I guess, except for Jonah. Jonah's fine, right? He's like making his own way.
Because he's like
10. Yeah, because he's 10. But
he's okay so far.
But yeah.
He's going down the Marty Burke path.
Yeah.
He can be just quietly be a criminal.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
But to a man, like, they've all been bested by women. And mm-hmm. it was just awesome and really, really gratifying. Cade, Ruth's dad, do you want to talk about him for a little bit?
Sure. Cade, her incredibly menacing father, who was in prison the entire first season, is out and caused that relationship. It was just so well done because
yeah.
he's awful, like
yeah.
thoroughly awful and out of control. And she, like, you know, like everyone, just wants her dad to love her
mm-hmm.
and so can't just kill him like she should. And it's interesting, he was in jail, I guess, for killing his own father.
Yeah.
So there's this sort of suggestion of like a Langmore family curse. And I was wondering the whole season if she was going to, despite, you know, loving her awful father, end up having to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, speaking of the direction, there was like the scenes between them were so tense because he is terrifying. And without saying anything, there's a suggestion of sexual violence.
Yeah.
Like she, you know, fixes up his trailer real nice for him. And he, you know, tells her to come here. And it's like for a hug or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he's standing in front of his bed, it's very
yeah,
much like
menacing.
Like
yeah.
you get that sense that like he has molested her. And then there's another scene where she's asleep and he crawls into bed with her
mm-hmm.
and nothing happens.
Yeah.
But the suggestion is there.
Yeah.
And it's very, very awful.
Yeah. And then when he eventually does die, she goes to the funeral home and has to, or not the funeral home, I guess she has to identify the body.
Coroner's office.
Which, okay, that's total bullshit because first of all, the sheriff knows this guy really, really well. Like,
I don't know if that's just a TV convention, but in drama, someone's always got to identify.
Yeah, my
body.
Husband and I were talking about that last night, and he was like, "I don't think this has ever happened in the history of any death ever. Like, people usually really? Die with ID. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm sure somebody has had to identify a body at some point. But I do think it's kind of a TV trope. But here I was like, that's still ridiculous. Because, yeah, the sheriff, like, had...
Yeah.
There were scenes with just he and the sheriff. Like, the sheriff knew who this guy was. The right. sheriff could have made the identification. But all that aside, she goes, identifies the body, and then does a real creepy, like, yeah. full-on kiss on the lips.
And I was wondering if that was just sort of a symptom of their messed up relationship, or if that was sort of, like, her getting the last word, mm-hmm. you know? Like,
yeah.
The last... Finally, she has the power, and he doesn't have the power over
yeah.
her. But I don't know. It was, yeah. I can't think of a TV character I've been happier to see killed.
Yeah, yeah. Peace out, Cade. He should have gone way earlier in the season. I was thinking that Wyatt would be the one to kill him. Actually,
I was wondering if that would happen too. Yeah. I thought that there was going to be some sort of like generational like blood curse for the Langmores.
Yeah,
and one of the kids would end up irrevocably with. Blood on his or her hands.
Well, Wyatt Langmore is potentially losing it, right? I mean, he's having conversations with his dead dad, Russ, who and sing-alongs, jam sessions with his dead dad, Russ,
that
teaching him guitar chords.
Broke my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, partly because it was the first scene where we really got a sense of how sad Wyatt was about his dead dad. And then that actor, his singing voice was just very touching, really gravelly and singing that song. Someone, I think in the Vulture recaps, pointed out how like a lot of the pop songs they picked for this season were by musicians who died very young. Mm-hmm. I know that that's a David Bowie song. It's A Man Who Sold the World.
Yeah.
But obviously the Langmores know the Nirvana version.
Yes.
And then, what's her name, played an Amy Winehouse song in the bar.
Oh, Rachel?
Yes, Rachel. And then I think there was a third one, but I've forgotten it.
Yeah, Rachel, this season, the owner of the Blue Cat Lodge, who truly did get pulled into this against her will and has a frisson of, you know, whatever, tension with Marty Bird.
Mm-hmm.
They were the will-they-won't-they last season. she's just on top of all, if you have time after your money laundering, are you going to have an affair, Marty? Because Laura Linney got her affair out of the way early.
Mm-hmm.
She comes back with an oxy problem and a DUI, or did she kill someone? I was unclear
on
what happened.
I think she just got into a car wreck and was on the hook for, a DUI.
And, Petty, the FBI officer from last year.
Menacing character.
Yeah, who was having an affair with Russ Langmore, his informant.
Mm-hmm.
Is obviously like super focused on this case because he fell for Russ and Russ got murdered by Ruth. So he also truly menacing, but in yet another brilliant turn is taken down by a woman. His relationship with his mom is what ultimately got him off the case. It was just so good and so gratifying. It's a real like antidote to Me Too. Episode or season two. I was just like, yes, every fucking woman got what they wanted. Like, Rachel, who got dragged into this against her will, gets to go to rehab in Miami where she's totally partying with Pitbull. Like, she is not gonna make it out, but at least, you know, and she got to make out with Marty, and you know, I wanted good things for Rachel. And Ruth is still running lickety-splits. She has had her empire taken away from her. She was going to run the whole operation while Marty and the family got out of town.
Marty's whole plan seemed pretty tenuous to me.
No, Ruth could totally run that.
I'm sure she could handle it, but, like, she had to make it seem like they... I don't know. It's just fucking irresponsible.
Yeah, well, you know, it's men. They don't give a shit. It's just like, I'm out of here. You can deal with this now.
Yeah.
And, he also completely ruined Rachel's life. So I'm glad to see her, you know, getting out of town.
Yeah.
Officer Petty ended up killed by Cade. So those two pieces of shit were each taken out.
Unceremoniously.
Unceremoniously. Yeah, which it was interesting because he... that character had a real arc. He was so evil and fucked up for so much of the season and just like then completely deflated at the end. So you did have some sympathy for him, and he was just trying to like get on with his life and go back and help his junkie mom,
yeah,
you know, sober up. And he came back for one last fishing expedition, yeah, in honor of Russ. Russ's
brother. Yeah, I feel like a lot of this show is about how you can't escape the consequences. Like once you're dirty, there's nothing you can do to get out of it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
like Marty thinks he's going to escape. He thinks that this isn't going to affect his children, but he's already turned his son into a criminal. His daughter wants to, you know, escape the family. I feel like there's no way Wyatt's going to go to college. That kid's fucked.
Yeah, he's given this baby that he killed the baby's father.
Yes.
He's given this baby to Darlene, who, mm-hmm, as we've mentioned, not the most stable. I mean, she'll probably love the kid, but she is batshit crazy. Like, yeah, don't turn your back on Darlene, ever.
Yeah. Can you imagine being like a teenager and having 80-year-old Darlene as your mom?
She's definitely going to homeschool. She's the type, yeah, for sure. She is going to have that kid build in a bunker by the time he's two. All right, well, let's play another song, and then when we come back, we're going to talk some more about this season of Ozark. Speaking of the man who sold the world, let's do that.
All right.
To face with the man who sold the world. David Bowie song.
That was a David Bowie song. Thanks, Kurt. R.I.P. Yeah, that sent me down last night. I was listening to this album again. And yeah. I was just like, oh, what a fucking bummer, man.
Yeah.
A real bummer. But I don't know. I guess maybe it's better than the 30-year Nirvana tour, right? I can't see that either.
I do think that, you know what? I'm not going to say anything shitty. Rest in peace, Kurt Cobain.
Yep. Okay. So before the break, we were talking about how Marty thinks he can escape consequences. And that's kind of one of the themes of the show is a lot of the people just kind of thinking like Petty was like, OK, I'm off the case now. I'm out. And just thinking that there's like no fallout from that. And Marty, yeah, over and over again, just like abdicating responsibility for stuff and thinking like I'm not directly responsible for any of this, mm-hmm. up to and including Ruth getting tortured by the cartel,
right,
being waterboarded, and then it's interesting, and that's kind of the theme from last season, is Wendy was always like, you need to feel like you don't feel anything, you just, you know, you're always like logical, yeah. And that switched, mm-hmm. for them this season. He broke basically when he did cross that line, and then Wendy switched into just like straight up logic.
TCB.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
yeah,
nothing but respect for my Ozark Kingpin. Wendy's always been the boss.
Yeah, that conversation between she and Helen.
Yeah, the Chicago lawyer. Lady who was also my husband midway through was like, she is terrifying, and yeah. I was like, she is my new hero, like Helen's just also taking care of business, like Helen runs things for the cartel, and Helen is not to my be client. Trifled with. Yeah, Helen is not to yeah. be trifled with.
And but when she they have this conversation, and she says, Wendy says, we have a problem, and Helen just, like, she already knows, she's like, don't tell me, like, yeah. you can't take it back,
yeah.
And she says, like, once you've gone down this road, like, everything changes, yeah. it'll feel different when your husband touches you, yeah. and then we sort of see backwards from Cade getting offed to like realizing that Wendy had just, you know,
set it all in motion,
set it up. I love the idea that she sat down across from him, it's like, here's $500,000, please get out of town, and she knew the whole fucking time.
Yeah, she's like, okay, see you later.
Yeah. I hear there's no traffic on yeah. Route 23.
Take this road. Yeah. One quick question. What was the dead dog doing in the road?
I was wondering, why did a dog have to die?
Why gratuitous dog death?
Yeah, I think just no one escapes.
The death of loyalty. The Ozarks.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, shit.
That you're is good. The death of loyalty.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
Because that was Cade's entire thing, was loyalty to your family above all else. And mm-hmm. even if you have to kill him, apparently. Because he killed his dad and Ruth killed her uncles. But... yeah, so was that what that symbolized? But I was like, where the fuck did the dog come from? I never saw that dog before. Why was the dog shot? Yeah, like,
stupid.
Yeah.
But you're right. That's why.
It's the death of loyalty. Yeah. Okay. what else did I want to say about the women? I really loved it. It was so gratifying.
Ruth deserves some recognition for her acting. Amazing. She's so fucking good.
She's amazing. And also the whole, again, the thing that surprised me so much was like midway through the season, I'm like, Marty's not very nice to Ruth, like he needs to respect Ruth more. And
yeah,
like it's just even their relationship, like everything switches. He literally hands her the entire future of his family's safety. Like he's yeah. like, you can do this, and you can keep my family safe when I go on the run to Australia. What weird name town would you run to, Jess? It's got to be somewhere in Australia with one of those like 27 vowels or like,
oh yeah, I don't know any town.
Kookaburra Township or whatever on the Gold Coast. Yeah, there's like, he fucked up Rachel's life, he fucked up Ruth's life, mm-hmm. and they all came out on top, and Marty is now stuck with Wendy, and
her cape.
Scared shitless, as he and Jacob had an amazing conversation. Jacob with his real gravelly, like, flat affect voice, yeah, talking about, like, what do you do when the woman who made your heart skip a beat now, like, sends it racing with terror,
yeah,
because she's fucking out of control. And Marty's just one line to the kid after he has the conversation with Wendy, where Wendy's like, no, we're staying and I'm in charge now, without saying I'm in charge now, but it's implied. But he sits down and then says, if you still want to be emancipated, I'll,
yeah,
I won't fight it. But as you mentioned, it is really interesting because Charlotte did sort of try to emulate Wendy, and she became, like, she stepped up and Wendy was like, what are you going to do? Are you going to get a fucking lawyer and, like, try to get emancipated?
Yeah.
And then Charlotte was like, yeah, bitch, try me. Like, and she got a lawyer and tried to become emancipated. She and Wyatt have had an ongoing friendship throughout both, mm-hmm, seasons. He's obviously in love with her, is what we're supposed to take away from it, right?
I think so.
But that it's always been a platonic relationship, and there's also some of that where she's like pretending to, not pretending to be helpless, but she goes to him when she needs help, like, right, he's where she goes when she runs away and things like that, but then she always returns to the safety of her family, and, yeah, there's a conversation between them where he's like, are you leaving and are you gonna come, were you serious about coming to Columbia with me? And she's like, I don't know, I did want to be emancipated, but I really also wanted to sleep in my own bed. And it's just really interesting, like, the path that they're going down. And at the end, you do see she and Marty are standing. It's Charlotte and Marty standing for this picture with, like, these forced smiles.
Yeah.
And then Wendy and Jonah just, yeah, like, hey, we did it, guys. Here we are, like, willingly going down that road, whereas Charlotte and Marty are both already sort of on that path, but trying, yeah, to deny it. And it's just really interesting, and it's so well done. Like, they've just,
yeah, it's amazing.
They, as we said, they piled so many things in, and just so many things happened in each episode, but it was all to, like, for this character development and all to just kind of flip the narrative. It's about, yeah, it's about, like, embracing what you're good at, I guess. I don't know. It's about,
yeah,
women helping women.
Don't,
it's
be about, in denial.
It's about what happens when women come together to give themselves a leg up in the community. It's just really an uplifting tale.
I know that the Lickety Splits ladies are going to unionize, and Ruth is going to support them.
Oh, totally. I mean, Marty was already like, mandatory breaks. You guys, yeah, like, have a full-on lunchroom now, you know? Like, you get paid
at leisure Fridays.
Yeah.
You can wear, yeah, clothes Fridays.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's a little lending library outside for them. I was super into it. I think they did a really great job. Jason Bateman was nominated for his work for last season. Do you, mm-hmm, think Laura Linney's gonna get nominated for an Emmy?
I think she should. You know, recall what season one was even about, I listened to what we talked about last year, and I recall now, I think New York Times and The Atlantic and their reviews of this show kind of bagged on Jason Bateman's performance. And
for this season?
No, for the first season.
Really?
So it must have felt extra good to get that Emmy nomination for his acting, because...
Really?
Yeah, wasn't received that well critically.
Oh, and I think he did an amazing job this season too.
Yeah,
I loved the real breakdown. Like, he has been this tightly wound, super tense guy who is just in logic mode trying to figure out the next move. And, mm-hmm, then this season, like, this kiss with Rachel is sort of the thing that kind of broke him open, like, to feeling.
Yeah,
I thought. And yeah, it was really good. He was real good this season. Real good. Good job, Jason Bateman. I don't hate you anymore for that DHR thing, which he did kind of try to walk back, I guess.
Yeah.
So, whatever. But I am delighted to see Laura Linney being put to full effect, as she should,
yeah,
be. She was underutilized last season, but now I'm, like, so gratified that it's just all leading to her being the true star of the show.
Yeah.
As she always should be. Jess, I have a very important question for you. What song would you like to be shot while you're singing along in your truck on your way out of town with your $500,000?
Oh, I don't know. Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Copacabana. It's got to be something like, it's got to be something that they'll, we give them pause for a minute just to like make right. you, you know, like you just get a second or.
Second to run for it.
Yeah. Or at least, no, you know.
It has to be something that's like. Things are looking up, like, you have to get shot unceremoniously.
Everything's coming yeah. up roses. Yep. And then, yeah, perfect. You're taken Bam. Down. Yeah. But, oh, it's so good. So good. So good. You guys should watch it. It's very tense. And I did see a tweet, actually, the other day from Amanda from the radio station. Hi Amanda. Saying that she's really sick of shows with like anti-heroes and like that whole journey, and mm-hmm. I was midway through this season and I was like, yeah, I kind of get it, like I'm sick of that whole like Breaking Bad vibe too, and now I'm all the way back right. in for season 3. It's just gonna be the women. It's just gonna be like Helen, Ruth, Wendy, and Darlene all like keeping each other in check.
Right.
And then Marty's just going to be at home making pancakes. I'm into it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
Bring
something
on the
compelling.
Season of it's the like, anti-heroine.
There are a lot of like biblical things in this show, but I feel like it's more of like a Greek.
Well, yeah, it's all, like Rachel, Ruth, and
Ezekiel,
yeah.
Yeah. A lot of like fire cleansing and baptismal imagery, mm-hmm. but it's like it's more of like a Greek tragedy, like you think you can escape your fate but mm-hmm. you can't.
Yeah.
Fate comes for you one way or another.
Yep.
Someone's gonna end up with their eyeballs gouged out.
Yeah. And all about like the land and the lake.
Yes.
And how the Snells had this like intense connection to the land because mm-hmm. they've been there for centuries, and the lake was how they were distributing their heroin in
right.
season 1, and in season 2 the lake was their downfall because they had flooded some land. I forget what that plot was, but they had flooded yeah. some land, and then it turned into some like again municipal like
yeah.
oh egret now like yeah. now the FBI owns your land, so sorry, we are going to build our casino. But also Marty bought like a fucking broken down riverboat mm-hmm. for the casino. It didn't look like they had done any work to that riverboat.
It was not.
I mean, I guess that wasn't the casino opening, though, right? It was just the, like,
it was
they were kicking off the project.
Yeah, the project approved.
Okay. And I did also really appreciate Helen, the terrifying lady from Chicago. I appreciated her conversation with them where she's like, all the cartels have tried to do this, like mm-hmm. tried to be legitimate business people. And now like the sky's the limit. Like you guys are the first ones who did it. Like you could franchise this basically.
That's called hubris, right? Isn't that thinking that you're the one who can like get away with something that no one else has succeeded in?
I don't know, man. They seem to have pulled it off.
One of those Greek terms.
I also
they haven't pulled it off though. It hasn't opened, and the casino or the Kansas City Mafia. What was that? Was that their house that got blown up at the end?
No, it was their office.
Oh, okay, there you go. Oh, that's why you said it smells like a new car or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah,
gonna get explodey.
Yeah, I'm thinking that Marty seems like the type of guy who probably has like a server backup. Probably. I think it's okay. I don't think they lost absolutely everything. And
no, I don't think that was the point, though. I think it was just a message.
What do you think about Buddy's final resting place being the, like, I was like, whoa, that's quite a fucking mausoleum. And then I was like, oh,
yep.
That's where they're storing the money. And, like, I love that it's the union fixer guy from Detroit who was on the run in the Ozarks is actually, yeah. like, the guy. Who's
helping
holding
them from beyond the grave.
Yeah. Yeah, Buddy was great.
Buddy was awesome. I was mad, and I know it's dumb to get mad at TV characters making bad choices because that's how drama moves forward. But, you know, Jonah and Buddy had a special connection, and he was very sad about him dying. And the suggestion was that, like, Buddy's heart, it was too much for him to, like, light that field of poppies on fire.
Sure.
And so Jonah was like, well, why was he up? Why was he doing all that? How did he die? Wendy should have said to her grieving son, he enjoyed the fuck out of
yeah.
burning that field down.
Yeah.
It was a delight for him. And
yeah.
he died peacefully in the car, rocking out to music he liked.
Yeah.
It was the best possible outcome for a man we all knew was going to die.
Yeah.
But instead, she was just like, gave him some weak thing about how, you know, we all knew he was going to die. Come on. I know you're a terrible mother, but you can try harder than that.
My other quibble, and this happens in every show. This really fucking bugged me. Buddy's in the car and they're listening to music and he's like, I saw him at the Fox Theater in 66. And I'm like, nobody fucking remembers the date of when they saw a goddamn concert. I saw the Arcade Fire. I don't remember when. I'm not 60 well, years from now. I'm certainly not going to fucking remember when they come on the radio and I'll be like, I saw them at the Greek September 22nd, 1988. Nobody remembers that. Fuck, and all they do that all the time in shows. And I'm that's like, true. Nobody fucking remembers unless that's the only concert you've been to in your life. You do not remember when you saw that show. So knock it the fuck off, people, okay? Please stop.
I don't know, though. Those, like, Summer of Love people are all into, like, having been part of the 60s. And he might very well remember that he saw something before it got ruined.
Fine. Fine. I don't know. It just really bugs me. I'm like, I don't remember when I saw anyone in concert, ever. I guess I do remember my very first concert, but...
Was it Korn?
Let's take that.
Delightful. What year?
It was 1994.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, that's just an aside. But yeah, let's talk about the many other ways that men were weak this season.
Three. Living up to his name had three scenes this season.
Poor Three. Is he still locked in that trailer?
Ruth told him. He is.
So Ruth abandons him. Cade is on this like murderous tirade and Ruth tells Three to go in the trailer and lock the door. And I'm like, that's not going to do anything.
It was really dumb because she left with Charlotte. And
just throw Three in the car.
Yeah, like, the only reason Three couldn't be there is because he's not a logical part of the following scene. Yeah. With the family. So he had to be locked in a trailer. He's
probably still there. Poor Three.
Yep, sitting there. Sitting there waiting.
What else? Yeah, everybody ended up dead, man. Jacob and Mason both ended up dead.
Fucking Mason. Mason had sacrificial lamb written all over him.
Yeah, it's really a mystery he made it to season two at all.
That's true. I was surprised to see him show up again, but it made sense. And the minute you saw that baby, you knew he was going to end up with Darlene somehow, right?
No.
I did. She wanted a son at the beginning of the season. I was like, that's random. And then we see a baby. It's like, that's I saw that coming a mile away.
Oh, I didn't see that coming. I thought that the birds were going to take him in and, you know, because Charlotte's out now. So it's like, we'll just get another baby. It's fine. We'll start again.
we'll build a
better family. That was Wendy's idea.
Part of the first season and presumably the rest of her fictional life was Wendy's grief over the loss of, was it their third baby that died? It made sense that baby would come back into their lives, but Darlene wanted it more.
Oh, also, so Charles, the politician guy who was the scumbag guy in The Affair, always plays like a slightly skeevy guy, and this time he was a politician, and he's like enthralled by Wendy and wants to, you know, make her a partner, and he gets totally fucking owned by her too. But I love how like the dirtiest politician in the entire state is like, I'm out. Nope. These people are too, like, this bitch is too, like, she is way too far ahead of me. Like, I am out. And he's, like, the skeeviest politician in the land. Right. Like, and he ends up sexually frustrated. And, you know, she pays off one of his debts or something and has him totally blackmailed. Great. It's great. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. If you get, you can't get involved with the birds and come out clean.
Yeah. And Ruth withstanding all that torture and Marty being like, I'm not responsible for it.
Fucker.
And, yeah.
More baptismal imagery.
Yep. Yeah. So and good.
Poor girl can't take a shower after that. Just to take a whore bath.
I think she got over it, though, by the end, because she had to jump in the water when she was, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm assuming she's back to her normal hygiene schedule. So it's all working out for Ruth now that she was going to be the big boss. But I'm interested to see the showdowns between her and Wendy in the next season. Because as I said, Wendy just cut her out. She was going to be running the whole show and now she's not. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
It's like when you think you're going to get a promotion because your boss is leaving and she doesn't.
Yeah. It's really terrible. I was delighted to see Sam Dermody find a little nice little stripper girlfriend. He's a terrible motivational speaker this season, and it seems like he's better as a, you know, shell guy who runs a strip.
Yeah, that is a satisfying change up for him. But if we see his face in season three, you know he's gonna die.
Oh yeah, he's definitely going down for sure. But yeah, Mason, it was also interesting that they told themselves that, like, we gave you every chance to get out and we tried to help you, we set up a fund for you, yeah. We like warned you about the Snells, we did all of this, and Mason just wouldn't leave because of his faith, I guess. Or then it became about vendetta, I guess.
Up until the end, he never found out what happened to his wife.
Yeah.
So I guess he was sticking around because he wanted answers.
Yeah, it was kind of tied to his faith again, because he was like, I knew she didn't leave. I believe that everyone told me she left, and I knew she didn't leave.
Yeah. That guy should have taken the easy way out.
Yeah.
Should have left when he had the chance.
Instead, Marty had to kill him.
That's my, if there's a moral to this show about amorality, it's if someone offers me money to get out of town, I'm going to take it. My pride's not to. I was actually arguing with my husband about, was it in this show? About your pride getting in the way of you taking a good deal. Like, he was like, I would take the money and, like, get the fuck out. And I was like, no, not in TV.
Yeah. 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 In real life, you'd be like, thanks for this bag of money. Yeah. Okay. Or, like, the first time somebody offered you something, you're like, sure. Yep. Yeah. Oh, a hot meal? Okay. I'm out. Fine. Sounds great. Yeah. I'm there. Sounds good. But this season's really good. It's got a lot of unexpected twists. It's super, super tense. And, yeah, excellent performances throughout. Yeah, Jonah's very funny. It's cancer. You've been gone a long time. It's great.
That kid's great.
Yeah. And
him,
I like
calling everyone in Buddy's Rolodex.
Yeah. How he said he found a paper wheel.
Yeah. He
found the way. I found a paper wheel. Marty's like, that's a Rolodex. And Jason Bateman also, like, is not given much comedic stuff to do in this show. But when he does have a chance to do something like droll and pithy, he's always funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Jason Bateman again.
And good. I'm glad you guys worked it out.
And his little butt nose. yeah. What else do you want to say about Ozark season two?
You mentioned that two seasons in, you still don't know how to launder money.
I know. That right is there with you. Very disappointing. I still don't know how laundering money works. Very clueless. So, if you guys do want to get at us with that, feel free to tweet at us. I'm sure the FBI is not monitoring our feed or anything. So yeah, how do you think it'd be to kind of vaguely live in fear of your spouse?
As a woman married to a man, I mean, statistically speaking, like, we're all gonna get murdered by our husbands at some point, like, given enough time.
No, but I'm trying to get it to the point where, like, my husband's vaguely, like, scared of me all the time.
Yeah,
like, occasionally it happens, but I'm trying to get to the point where he's vaguely scared.
Well,
I
mean, you got to send a message then.
Yeah.
Leah.
I just
think you can't just expect it to happen.
I guess.
Have him kidnapped and have his head shaved.
I've got to cancel.
And then see how he feels.
I got to cancel.
See how you do with that.
Cancel that upcoming vacation he planned for us. Okay. All right. Well, I guess you guys should watch season three or two of Ozark. It has not yet been renewed for season three.
So, yeah, watch it, man.
Yeah.
We gotta get a season three.
It has not yet been renewed because now all the women are in charge. So Netflix are like, I don't know if that'll sell. That doesn't seem right. So, yeah, it hasn't been renewed yet. But we're hoping it'll get there. I'm sure it will be. Jason Bateman should get a chance to keep directing because he's doing good work behind the camera.
It's amazing. If I notice the direction, then it's some good directing.
yeah, he's doing a really good job. All right, well, we are going to leave with another epic song from this season, and we'll be back next week with more TV on the radio, but keep it here on BFF.fm for Indie Rock Girl Radio. She's coming up next, and keep it here throughout your Sunday. We're a great radio station to spend your Sunday with, as you guys know. All right. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week.
sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey